Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. I want to speak this morning, if you can believe it, I want to speak this morning on the blessing of spiritual language. That's code for the blessings of speaking in tongues. This, to me, is one of the strangest, oddest things in Scripture. And yet, I have experienced it. So I want to speak on it, that I might stir up your hearts, I might stir up your hunger for more of the Lord and more of a life in the Spirit with the Lord. And so the blessing of spiritual language, I want to start off by saying that Jesus, you know, whatever else you think about this, Jesus is the one who introduced the subject of spiritual language. It wasn't me, and it wasn't you, and it wasn't this church, and it wasn't this denomination, and it wasn't a group of Pentecostals. It was Jesus. We wouldn't know anything about this if it wasn't for Jesus and what he said. So Mark 16, verse 15, you know this, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, which I think we understand that, the ministry of exorcism. They will cast out demons, and here's the phrase, they will speak in new tongues. They will speak in new tongues. And they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's a very interesting passage of Scripture. But there's our first prophecy about this, that the Lord himself said this is going to happen. This is going to happen. People will have a spiritual language. Acts chapter 2. I feel not as manly as I should this morning after that video. But I'll try to sound manly. How many enjoy these? Don't you love these things? That's why we come. Acts chapter 2, verse 3. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on them, on each of them. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They began to speak in spiritual language, the language, I presume, of angels. It's not a language that anybody knows. But God said, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. This is an account of, an historical account, that 120 people gathered. It had been 50 days since Passover. 50 days later, they're in this upper room, and it's all history. And for some of us, we've been to Israel, and we've been to that, well, what they say is that upper room. I don't know if it actually was or not. I didn't get that feeling when I was there, but they say that's where it is. But nevertheless, the thing is, there's a historical account that they were praising the Lord, and the next thing they knew, they were speaking. And now, it doesn't say they were acting crazy. It doesn't say they were doing something unnatural. It's just that it's unusual. It had never been done before. I'm sure we're lifting up the name of the Lord. But they began to speak in other languages. That's what I want to bless you with today. With the word of the Lord focusing on, I'm intrigued. I can remember when I gave my heart to the Lord as a young boy in this little town in Saskatchewan, I knew for sure that I had been saved. I knew. I walked home. I went to that meeting unsaved. I walked home to that meeting saved. And even my sister knew that something had happened to me. And I was just young. And I had heard people speaking in tongues in this little church. But the church in some ways had a lot of troubles, a lot of struggles. But one of the things is that they did pray for people to get saved, and I got saved there. And they also prayed for people to be baptized in the Spirit. But it didn't happen to me there in that church. But but I can remember, I think I must have been about 15 or 16, maybe, yeah, about 15 or 16. And I was at this Bible camp. My parents, of course, were kind of aghast about all this stuff and so disappointed, right, in some ways. But nevertheless, I went to this camp, and they called everybody forward who would like to experience the baptism of the Spirit. That's what they said. Would you like to come? They gave an invitation for salvation. Would anybody like to give their heart to Christ? Would anybody like to become one of his members of his forever family? That you would like that relationship with, have a relationship with God through Jesus. And hands went up and people came forward and they gave, I presume, gave their hearts to the Lord. But there was this other invitation for those who would like to be baptized in the Spirit and speak with spiritual languages. Please come forward. And so I went forward, as I probably had. And I think back, I think I went forward a few times. You know, after a while, you become the local chronic. Even the evangelists make a path around you because nothing's going to happen there to that guy. At least that's how it felt, at any rate. But in this one particular night, I went forward, and the fellow who prayed for me, his name is Jim Mickey. Now, these are real people because they have real names and they live in real places. And he was from a Bible school team from Eston. He was there with that team of praying for young people and singing and playing his trumpet, whatever else he was doing. And he laid his hands on me. And after a while, the next thing I know, I am speaking this spiritual language. I didn't plan on saying anything. I didn't plan on doing anything. I was at the meeting. And I responded to the invitation. Whereas, so in my own heart and thinking, in that little church, I experienced the free gift of salvation. And at that Bible camp, I received the free gift of the Holy Spirit, empowerment for service. It made a difference in my life, as my salvation obviously did, and granted me eternal life. So this was also a profound thing for me. And to this very day, to this very day, as I stand before you here, I could not say, well, no, it didn't mean anything. It was just some emotional thing in the meeting, and that's what I did. And I followed someone who said, repeat after me. Because after a while, you know, you get to divide the craziness from the reality. And there's always people that are a little unbalanced, and they show up at these meetings. Matter of fact, they're drawn to these meetings. Isn't that, you know, how many know I'm speaking the truth? Whenever you have this moving of the Spirit, you get solid people, but you get people that are pretty needy and they act out a little bit and they shouting or screaming or rolling or barking or something they're doing, and it kind of alarms other people. And yet in the midst of that is the reality, is the genuineness of it, that we don't want, as they say, throw out the baby with the bathwater because of some unstable people, but rather to embrace, to test all things, right? Prove that which is good and hang on to that. And so I can honestly say the spirit, the baptism of the Spirit and the ability to speak in a spiritual language has been of just unbelievable help to me, strength to me. And it's one of the things that keeps you effervescent. It keeps you up to date. I call it, I think it was the hunters that originally coined this, but it was the hotline to heaven. It's an instant way to connect with heaven, and I'll talk more about that as we move along here. So I just say this by way of illustration. Now, some of you may consider me weird or odd, but I don't consider myself odd. Maybe those kind never do, right? But I've often thought myself as I want the genuine, and I've always wanted the genuine. I wanted that which is real. I want that which is of God, not just some, you know, crazy meeting. And it has stood the test of time. There is my point. It stood the test of time. It wasn't something that ended when the meeting ended. So what can we say about this? Well, one thing we know, if you're following the notes, the church began speaking in tongues the very first day it came into existence. Isn't that interesting? You think that would get our attention more than anything. You say, wow. First thing that happens to this church is they begin speaking in a spiritual language. First day it comes into being. I've already read it, so I won't read it again, but they began to speak in other languages, other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, there was an enablement that happened that they couldn't have done that on their own, but they did in that happen, actually happened. I can remember one time when we were meeting, the North Shore pastors were meeting down the road here. We meet here, but then we were meeting somewhere else, and there was these two brothers that were there. They were related brothers. And they got the idea that one of the pastors, that he should speak in tongues. And I just love, you know, truth is always much better than fiction, right? It's always better. And so they thought today was the day, and so they go marching into his guy's office, and they said, "We've come to pray for you." Looking for an escape, right? "We've come to pray for you. And the problem," he said, "with you is that you're too intelligent. You're using your head too much. And that's why you haven't spoken in this heavenly language." And so he said, "Are you open?" And so they gather him and they just pray huge amounts over him. And they went as far as to say, "Now repeat after me." And that kind of wrecked it for me when I heard that. But they were sincere. The point of it was they actually loved this brother and felt that he should experience the anointing of the Spirit of God. And a valid New Testament experience, and they weren't going to mess around with it. We've come to do business. And later, as I asked him, I said, "So if you had to repeat," I said, "Well, that wrecked it up for me a bit." But he said, "I could tell the sincerity of these people." He said, "I said, pray for me," and he said to this, and he said, "So I have this heavenly prayer language to this day." So praise the Lord for events like that, but it takes some bold people sometimes to pray for other people. So. What we could say this is that other tongues that the Bible talks about, this heavenly prayer language, this spiritual language that I'm talking about, it's God's idea. It was God's idea. The church began speaking in this heavenly language first day, but whose idea was it? It wasn't a bunch of people. There was no instruction on it. It just happened. And it was God's idea. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 10. I'll show you what I mean by that. Acts chapter 10, and reading at verse 44. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. Interesting how you can't make it happen, but you can be open to it, that the Holy Spirit could fall even here if we were open. Right, if we weren't saying, but I've got a breakfast appointment here following here. I got brunch. So sometimes Sunday morning isn't always the best time because people are perhaps a bit distracted. But nevertheless, it's the Spirit fell on Peter and those that heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had, so they were all Jews, right? Got that they were all Jews. So while the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. Now, why were they amazed? Because the gift of the Holy Spirit, remember I said the two gifts, the gift of salvation to undeserving sinners, and the second gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit for empowerment and for service. Because the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. So it wasn't just the first century, just the Jews, it was now the Gentiles as well. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues. Now, but let's back up. How did they know that the Spirit was poured out on them? How did they know that? What tipped it off? He says, here it is. For they heard them speaking in tongues, this, again, heavenly prayer language, spiritual language, and extolling God. Speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water?" See, they hadn't even been baptized. These people are new. They got saved when that sheet came down from heaven, and Peter says, "You know, the Lord says, eat. I can't eat there because I don't eat anything unclean. Don't call unclean what I call clean." And then he ends up at the house of Cornelius, as we see the story here. So, can anybody withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And the reason that they knew that they received the Holy Spirit was because they were speaking in this heavenly prayer language. That's how they knew in that story, at any rate. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So they did it differently, but it ended up with faith and repentance, Holy Spirit baptism, and then baptism in water later, or afterwards at that moment. So then they asked them to remain for some days. Well, what can we make of this? It seems to be this is God's idea. So in other words, God wants everybody to be born again, but God wants everybody to be filled with the Spirit and have the ability to pray in a heavenly prayer language. And of course, all kinds of questions come, right? Well, is it for everyone? My take on it is, yeah, it is. But it's not a sign of spirituality, of super spirituality. Sometimes we've made it that, right? Sometimes I've seen it, we make it kind of a tongues club, where kind of those that do and those that don't, and all that kind of stuff. And I just, that kind of wearied me. I never had much time for any of that. But I do believe it's God's idea, and it's a good idea. And so when we talk about a Spirit-filled person, we're talking about someone who's been baptized in the Spirit and who has this ability. Again, you know, by the way, you know you never have to speak in tongues. You know that, right? You never have to speak in tongues. Because people say, I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, do we have to speak in tongues? I said, no, if you don't want to. You don't have to, right? How many of us have to speak to you? You don't have to. If you don't want to. Matter of fact, I doubt if you don't want to, I doubt if you will anyway. But no, you don't have to. Of course you don't have to. Say, the Lord still love me? Sure it will. But what I don't get is, why wouldn't you want to if that was available? If it's in the Scriptures, and if it's an experience that's valid and genuine, and if it was God's idea, right? If it was God's idea. See, it's funny how it's worked. This story is a 2,000-year-old story. But in 1900, and in Azusa Street, and even prior to that, at Nyack College in upstate New York, A.B. Simpson. How many know about A.B. Simpson? A.B. Simpson, they were speaking in tongues in 1898, 2 years before Azusa Street. How about that? Those Alliance guys had it up on us. Right? We're country cousins to them, right? But it's they were already, A.B. Simpson, a real solid guy, but they were doing that. And then, of course, some teaching on dispensationalism came in, and I think it kind of maybe ended a bit there. But it was, people were experiencing across North America and into Europe later. This wasn't just stuck with a few people in Azusa Street in Los Angeles. That was a revival, and it started to spread, and of course it spread to Canada. It spread to the United States. All kinds of denominations were touched by it. But you know, it wasn't until the 1960s that the Spirit began to move in a little different way. And I can still remember seeing a Time magazine where it said, Episcopalian priest speaks in tongues. And that was Father Dennis Bennett out of Seattle. How many remember that? Now we kind of smile and say, yeah, so what's it? Oh, are you kidding me? That was unbelievably, because it was just the kooky Pentecostals. The kooky, you know, I'm using it again, you know, or it's actually like that. That's old. It's like that. So Anglicans? Anglicans, yes. And then for some of us, we were aghast. Roman Catholics. How could that be? Remember that? How we thought, how could that be? That couldn't be of the Lord. Those Roman Catholics, yes, it was. It was of the Lord. And then there was Spirit-filled Lutherans and Spirit-filled, you know, Christian Reformed. And the Spirit just seemed to be moving over the whole world. And now, Pentecostalism, I'm not talking about anything kooky, just Pentecostalism, of this moving of the Spirit, is the fastest movement in the world. All over the world. The church is becoming increasingly charismatic as people are accepting that as normal. So, I mean, meaning that whether they're Baptists or Presbyterians or anything else, there's people that say, I'm Presbyterian and I speak in heavenly languages. I'm Lutheran, I speak in heavenly languages. Oh, well, guess what? I'm Pentecostal and I speak in heavenly languages. So I always tease Ed Hurd because he's far more Pentecostal than I am. And he's so funny. Remember that time he spoke over here at our church on "Can these dead bones live?" Now you gotta love. You invite a guy and he speaks on Pentecostals about speaking in tongues. But he has been, in his own life, he said, I was hungry for more of the Lord. And that seems that all it took to experience that. And I appreciate Brother Ed as a fellow charismatic in the things of the Lord. So Jesus prophesied it. The Father intended it. The Holy Spirit enabled it. And the church received it. That's kind of the order. And so somebody says, "Well, what's the beauty of this thing? If there's the blessing of spiritual languages, what's the beauty of spiritual languages?" Well, I thought of a lot of different things that I could say. Because I probably, in the rating of things, I'm probably a Bapticostal. Probably, I'm a card carrying. I remember John Hardy. That we concluded that I was a card-carrying Pentecostal and a closet Baptist, and he was a card-carrying Baptist and a closet Pentecostal. And so I've appreciated him over the years as well. So I'm kind of a middle-of-the-road guy that some would think I'm deader and dead, and some would think I'm kooky, you know, but just kind of walk down that line. In other words, I want all that the Lord has, but I just don't want to go down some paths that I've seen that seem to me just kind of wrecked it, but... Anyway, what is the beauty of this thing? What's the advantage of it? Well, I think there is some advantages. So let me just touch on some of these. The beauty of spiritual language, number one, is expanded worship. That's for sure. That if we said, okay, we're going to pray now for the next 30 minutes, some of you would be done in three. Some would be... But I know that those that prayed in the Spirit would probably still be praying half an hour later. Right? Because it just expands. When you don't know how else to pray, right? So you just pray in the Spirit. And it somehow expands it. That next thing you know, you're kind of speaking, it's beyond you. Now you're not quite sure what it is, but you feel the unction of it. Right? And especially if you stay with it and you say, okay, Lord, I just want to use this time. And I don't know how to pray as I ought to pray. So I start praying in the Spirit, in other tongues. And it's just a tremendous aid. How many know this true? It's an aid to your prayer life. A great, and especially to intercession. You know, where you just want to hold somebody up. And so we just pray in the Spirit, just believing that God, that you're right on the money, right? That you're right on the money, that you don't have to worry about. Like half the time, I'm probably directing God how I want him to answer it. And Lord, I pray you'll get this and get that job for Uncle Henry. And I've got this grocery list that I'm praying about. But when I put that aside, just want to say, Lord, I want to pray for William and Anya. Lord, I just bless you. And then I'm praying in the Spirit, believing that those prayers are affecting them without me knowing really how I'm praying or what I'm praying about, other than the general topic. So expanded worship, that's a good reason just to have that in our lives, isn't it? Just to say, I can pray longer, and I can, especially in intercession. Secondly, it has great merit regarding spiritual warfare. I have, when I've encountered the devil, and as we all have, I think, haven't we all encountered the devil, I find that it's kind of like, you know, Scud missiles coming in, and all of a sudden when I sense some darkness, without even thinking about it, without even trying, without even attempting, immediately, just speaking in tongues, as if, just like a shield going up as I prayed in the Spirit, because I didn't know, all I knew was there was some darkness present. And matter of fact, I remember one time I said, let's all pray in the Spirit right now. And we were just all praying and just taking authority over the enemy in spiritual warfare. And I think, again, this is one of those great things that comes along with it. It's an aid. It's not the whole thing, but it's an aid in it, and it's helpful for us. See, if you're following, it's a means of edifying the soul. Now, you've got to read this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. By the way, you know, all we know about this stuff, how much does anybody know? Well, there's books. I've got all kinds of books. You've probably got lots of books on this. But the truth of the matter is, all we have to go on is Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, and then 1 Corinthians 14. That's all there is, folks. There isn't anything else. There's nowhere else. So whatever you tell me, it has to line up with this because this is all we know about it. It's not as if there's entire chapters of it, but this is what we know about it. So I would say this. If it's scriptural, I want it. Don't you? If it's scriptural, I want it. If it's not scriptural, I don't want it at all. But I believe it's scriptural. And one of the benefits, chapter 14 and verse 4, the first part of it. Now, let's be honest with the context. The context is there's been an excessive amount of speaking in tongues in the services. And Paul is trying to bring some regulation to it. Yes, regulation. Even the things of the Spirit need regulation. And so he's giving some regulations regarding this. This is what he comes. So he's not actually talking directly about tongues, but he's talking about it in the service. But nevertheless, because of that, he touches on it. The one who speaks in a tongue, now whether he meant to use it this way or not, builds himself up. Somebody says, speaking in tongues is very self-centered. Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely. It's actually for you. So you can be built up. It's about all the other gifts are about the other people, are about the people. But not this one. This is for you. So in other words, so that pray in tongues all the way to church. Then prophesy, then speak in your natural language when you get here, because the point of it, of the point of spiritual language is to build you up, to encourage you. And so when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. Many millions of times. I can't tell you how many times where I felt dry and lifeless and discouraged and down and doubting and then realizing, oh, that's a call. That's a call for prayer in the Spirit. And just to be whether I'm driving down, I have prayed in tongues driving down in my car. I've prayed in tongues in shopping windows. I have gone into bars. I have gone into every different settings. And I was praying in the Spirit the whole time because I was going to meet somebody. And just it was a great, and I felt really, I get a call to go to the hospital. Say, oh, what am I going to offer this person? Man, alive. Oh, yikes, 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 yikes. And you feel flat. And so what do? Well, the Bible says, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's what Jude says, right? Praying in the Holy Spirit. So now I'm in second gear, and I'm heading for the hospital. Now I'm praying. What am I going to pray? I don't know how to pray, so I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. What? Believing that the Lord would edify me and build me up so that I could minister at that bedside or wherever it would be. See, that's to build yourself up. And it's one of the quickest ways. It's one of the fastest ways to connect. That's just bang. How many know? I'm speaking the truth. You just really can connect quickly. Whereas if I just limited myself to my normal English language, then I got to calculate what I'm going to say and what I'm going to think and wonder if I prayed that just right. Whereas I think this way, you're always on the money. But the first value is to edify your own soul so that you can edify others. So that if you're built up, then can you imagine how when you minister or share a testimony or anything, that you build up others because of that. Number D, it's a means for speaking to God. It's communication. Communication. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man. Did you know that? It's not for. If it is, it's supposed to be interpreted. If it's a message for us, it should be interpreted. But in itself, he who speaks in a tongue speaks not to man, but to God. Now, why is that? Because nobody understands him. That's the next word. Nobody understands him. So it's God word. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying to God. That's what it's for. It's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's a glorious thing, actually. How good is that? How good is that? So somebody said, well, do you pray? I don't know. I'm just sharing my own heart here. But I pray in the Spirit, and I pray in my own understanding. But you go back and forth. But it is a tremendous aid for all of us, and it's not something unique just for a few people. See, that's why, if the point of speaking of the heavenly languages, if it's for building yourself up, why would that be limited to a few? I mean, meaning a few are going to build us up? No. He said, he that speaks in a tongue builds himself up. Well, wouldn't that be for me and you? I think so. I think it's for all of us. Without putting any pressure on anybody, just an invitation that I think that... in other words, I don't think you have to speak in tongues. You may not even want to speak in tongues. But when you weigh some of the benefits of it, it could be that you might want to be open to that, because I do believe that it's not just for a few spiritual people. It's for all of us. So that we can be Spirit-filled and Spirit-led and praying in the Spirit and building ourselves up and so forth. All right, E. It's a means of solving mysteries, at least according to Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 in verse 2. For he speaks in a tongue, speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands. Now remember that. When somebody says, doesn't sound like a language to me, that's just gibberish. That's just, you're just making a bunch of words up that we could, and anybody could do that. You know, we used to joke about it when we were praying for people, and if they seemed a little late in coming into it. Remember, the joke was we were going to get them to say really fast, she rode off on a Honda. So it's because it sounded. I remember Adrian Plass, when he was here, he talked about reading the Sri Lankan cricket club names off. So when we talk about mysteries, that's why. But when you're speaking in tongues, you are not speaking to people. So if nobody can understand it, good. Good. Why? It's not for you. As long as God understands it. Right? I've often, when you hear these documentaries and national, you know the programs, they're all about nature. And you hear they have these things, the mating call of whales. And we say, how weird. How strange that they make those kind of noises. It couldn't be a real language. Sounds like gibberish to me. A bunch of whales talking to each other. And well, of course, because it's whale language. They communicate with each other, right? And we would be surprised if we didn't understand it because it wasn't for us. So, mysteries. Let's carry on here. For he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Huh. That's interesting. Now, we don't even know necessarily what we're saying. Right? Those that speak in heavenly prayer languages don't know what they're saying unless it was interpreted. Unless they got the interpretation for it. But it's not, that would be for a public meeting. But just for our personal prayer language, there's mysteries involved in it. And I often wondered if we did have a problem that we just didn't know what to do, wouldn't it be somebody said, why don't we just pause? Let's just pray in the Spirit for a few minutes here. We're so confused. We're so distraught right now. Why don't we just invite the wisdom of heaven to come down? And let's move beyond my mind roaming and speeding it up and speeding up and speeding up. And I've got this, now you've got that. And we don't have a clue. But what if we just knelt together? Or we even together as a church, let's just pray in the Spirit so we know that we're right on the money. Because you're not wrong, because you speak to God and you utter mysteries. But mysteries in the Bible are not things that aren't going to be solved. They're things that are going to be revealed. Right, that's however that word mystery is used. It's not as if it's like it's a deep, dark secret. You're never going to find out about it. No, you will find about it because that you utter mysteries to God because it's a form of prayer. All right, well, turn with me to John chapter 7. I think what the most we can ask for, I think, is there would be an openness. Oh, by the way, probably nothing in the world divides people more than the subject of speaking in other tongues. There have been more church splits and more denominations have been formed, and people mad. I think I understand part of that. I think it's if it's of God, if people sometimes are afraid of it, afraid to experience it. But turn with me to John chapter 7 and verse 37. The last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Yet, for as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This rivers of living water, I've often wondered if it has something to do with speaking in heavenly prayer languages. But it certainly comes out of our innermost being and overflows to others. So when I pray in tongues, I'm talking to God, I believe, in a language that he understands. That this innermost being flows out to God. And God understands it. And that's why we pray, God understands. Maybe the church doesn't understand, no one else understands, but God understands it. Now, I know that there's often been maybe people not fully informed about some things. Like, I remember a lady, we prayed for her, and she just made the sound kind of like a car starting. And she's going to kind of putt, 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 putt. And, of course, after an hour of that, I'm ready to jump off the roof. So we just said, you know, we need to pray for you. That's just, I don't know what that is. It's probably sincere, but it was, you know, it kind of sets things back a bit. If you're trying to encourage people to move into the things of the Spirit, it kind of sets it back quite a bit. So there have often been excesses that have spoiled it. Sometimes people have demanded it, right? People, you felt pressured. So I don't know about you, but the second I feel manipulation, my arms are folding, and I'm trying to look spiritual, but I'm already shutting down. And you too, right? You know what that's like. But if there's an atmosphere of love and acceptance, and there's spiritual people around who can guide things and direct things, so, you know, it's not going sideways, and it says, oh my goodness, why did we ever start doing that? But on the other hand, how don't we want all of the things of the Spirit, whatever it is, and get rid of all mental blocks, because it's often those mental blocks that can really hinder us from receiving fully. Or we use our minds, we're just trying to figure it all out, and you never, ever, ever will receive anything from the Spirit by figuring it out from your mind. I know that. It just doesn't come that way. But it's not irrational, and it's not crazy. It's a way of receiving things in the Spirit. Tongues are connected to heaven's throne. Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Go back there again with me if you would. Chapter 14 and verse 15. Well, let me start at verse 14. If I pray in a tongue, he says something about this. Is interesting, isn't it? My spirit prays. My spirit prays. How good is that? That's got to be a good thing, isn't it? My spirit prays. But my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit. That's your inner man, right? That's the inner man. But I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. And then he talks about giving thanks. If you don't, so there's a whole thing about giving thanks there. So how is that? Well, there's just something about this that to me has some very power. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my mind. It's both. We'll have many of our prayers, especially when we gather together. Because remember, tongues is God's word. Prophesying is this way. But as we gather together, mostly our prayers will be in our case in English. Right, English prayers, everybody understands what everything's being said. Right? Now, it could be that somebody's praying in the Spirit, and somebody who speaks Spanish can say, hey, you know what's funny? They were funny. When they were praying in Spanish. Oh, they didn't even know Spanish. But I've seen that many times in a meeting where somebody actually, there was words that they thought that they couldn't have known because they didn't study them. So what do? We pray with our spirit, we pray with our mind. That is a very, very powerful thing for it to have. But we're connected, it's linked to God. So especially when we pray with your spirit, when you pray with your mind, we're not always sure whether we're on the target or not. So what can we say about this? How could we position ourselves in such a way, how could we create a space for God to meet with us and to receive from the Lord? Right? How? What would it be? Well, I think it's a mindset. I think that if you don't welcome spiritual language, it will not come. It must be welcomed. The Lord will find. That's why the Spirit of God moved on to the Catholics and the Lutherans and the Presbyterians, because they were more open than we were. God just looks for hungry hearts and people. And I believe there's no reason in the world for someone who says, I speak in tongues, and have everybody put, let's get a straitjacket for this guy, because he speaks in tongues. But it sure is, probably this would be the Sunday and my neighbors come. You know, probably only spoken on this about twice in the last 5 years, maybe not even that many times. But you have to risk it because it's in the. I don't believe it because I experienced it. So you know this, right? I don't believe it because I experienced it. I believe it because it's in the Bible. This is solid stuff, folks. Maybe not everybody's response is solid, but certainly it's scriptural. And Paul's just saying is, listen, when I pray with my spirit, and I sing with my spirit, and I sing and I pray with my understanding, and I sing with my understanding as well. So that's just that's a good thing. So how do we open ourselves? What are some of the things? Let me just touch on them very quickly here. Number one, it's our openness and our faith. Are you open to praying in a heavenly prayer language? That's a good question. If you're open and you believe that it's for you, right? Just like salvation. If you wouldn't have believed it was for you, you wouldn't have received it. You said, I believe Jesus loves me and died for me, rose from the dead for me. I believe that. And what happens? He that confesses with mouth and believes in his heart shall be saved. It's just that simple, wasn't it? You believed it was yours. I think this other gift, that's the gift of salvation, this other gift of the Spirit, I think as well, it's received. By the way, everyone who's a born-again child of God has the Spirit. But the fullness of the Spirit, what I'm talking about in this charismatic end of it, of the Spirit moving in our hearts and praying through us, takes another level. So our openness and faith, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the baptizer? And do you believe that he will baptize you in the Spirit and will give you the ability, the enablement, and perhaps even the desire to pray in the Spirit as a means of building yourself up and edifying your soul and speaking to God and solving mysteries and all the other things I've mentioned. So that's the first thing. If you've got to be open, and to be honest, many, many people over the years have said to me, I don't want it. Or, no tongues, please. What was it, a buffet? Power, yes. Love, yes. Peace, yes. Joy, yes. Power, speaking tongues, no thanks. No thanks. Partly because it maybe reminds you of somebody that maybe wasn't the most balanced person. Perhaps that's it. I don't know why that is. But number one, you got to be open. Number two, are being willing to speak. Because when it's all said and done, somebody has to speak. Hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit doesn't speak like that. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak in tongues. You do. I do. Right? That's who speaks in tongues. The Holy Spirit doesn't. So I must be willing at some point, as someone who speaks English, I must be willing to step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm open to you, I'm yielded to you, and I'm being willing to speak in a spiritual language. And I'm willing to stop praying in English to do that, or whatever your language is. So it's a willingness to speak. I think that's a very, very powerful thing. Thirdly, I think one of the times that is the easiest to receive is when we're singing our praise. In other words, we're already singing songs. And when we come to the part, you know, I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Those are wonderful times to say, I'm just going to yield myself to the Lord. Now, because it doesn't filter through your mind, you know, you don't think of what you're going to say when you pray in the Spirit. You just have these impressions. You have these, this just the desire to say something, and it sounds corny. Matter of fact, to me, when that dear man, Jim Mickey, laid his hands on me, I prayed in the Spirit, and then I stopped. And he said, why did you stop? Well, I was afraid it wouldn't start. But I said, because it sounds like me. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I heard myself praying, and it sounded like me praying. He said, well, if it's anybody else, I'm running out of here. He said to me, I'm the first guy out of here if it's not you speaking. He said, of course it's you. You will speak as the Spirit gives you utterance, but of course it's you. It will be you. It is you. It's not anybody else. It's you. Praising and glorifying God, but the Spirit enabling us, not knowing really what we're saying, but willing to offer up syllables and sounds that we don't even know for sure what it's about. But we're willing to be open to the supernatural. By the way, I believe salvation is supernatural, and I believe this is supernatural too. Say, well, wasn't it? Yeah, there's human elements to it. Just there wasn't your salvation. I went forward at a meeting, right? I gave my heart. I read a verse over there. Well, say, well, how is that? That couldn't have been divine. I mean, after all, here you are reading verses and praying the sinner's prayer. Where's that in the Bible? I think this is a pretty human thing. I mean, it was pretty hard to tell what was supernatural and what was natural. But nevertheless, I got saved. And the same with getting filled with the Spirit. So he says, don't be afraid that if you speak in tongues today, what if I can't do it again? It doesn't work like that. The Spirit always, the person always has control of it. You can start, you can stop. You can start, you can stop. You don't have to get yourself into some kind of, and you're shaking. I say, well, yeah, but that night I was kind of shaking, so I'm going to start shaking. No, get away from that stuff. Just say, Lord, this is a wonderful gift. I receive it. And I'm hungry for you. This is not a casual thing. It's not a matter of, I'm going to go forward here and put a quarter in. You never know, you might get something. I don't think so. You won't get too much. It's this idea to say, Lord, I see it in your word. I want all that you have for me. Right? I want all that you have. Again, is it everything? No, it's not everything. It's not the whole counsel of God. Somebody say amen. This is not the whole counsel of God. But it is of God. And it's a powerful thing. So, singing your praise, it says, be filled with, Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourself songs and hymns and spiritual songs. So often I wondered if maybe this is when we're worshiping, and maybe the team could just come back here, we'll sing a closing song here, but as we're worshiping, it's a wonderful thing to do. Absolutely for sure. And 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, I pray with my spirit, and I sing with my spirit. I pray with my understanding, and I sing with my understanding. So we switch back and forth from that which is of the Spirit and that which is of me and of my mind. So worship team, just come. I want you to sing that. I think it was the second last song. Sorry, did I wreck it up here? Didn't I?
The second last song.
I can't remember. Stand with me. Here's the problem. We need it now. We should actually have this next service right now so that we could invite you forward. But let me say this. If the Lord spoke to you this morning, if he did, don't let this thing drop. You don't have to have Brian and I laying hands on you. We would be willing to. But you don't have to have that. It's a free gift. There's people who've been baptized in the Spirit in the kitchen sink. There's people who have been driving down the road. It's just a match. The Lord is just the Lord. He will. If you are hungry for Him, and you see value in having, if you see the beauty of spiritual language, the beauty of it, the amazingness of it, that God would have these crazy words that we're saying, and we don't even know what we're saying, and yet we touch mysteries, and power is released. And I know that when I am beaten down and I pray in the Spirit, folks, I can feel the energy. I know that I'm anointed when I'm in praying in the Spirit. And I just hope, let's be a fully Spirit-filled people. Doesn't matter whether we're Pentecostals or Episcopalians or anything else. We just want to be open because we see it in His Word. And with that in mind, allow me to pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you. You're the giver of all good gifts. And every good gift comes down from heaven. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Good gifts. I pray, Lord, that in this season, this week and the weeks ahead, that we'll just hear reports of this person, that person. Thank you. Lord, take away all fear from us. Take away any bad memories that turned us off or made us feel second rate. Lord, I don't know why some people seem to receive and some people seem to hesitate. Lord, that's not my business at all. But Lord, simply to present you as the one who baptizes us in the Spirit. Open our faith. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you said you would give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks of you. And we believe it. We thank you here today. And by faith, Lord, we're going to believe that scores and scores of people are going to enter in and receive fully this wonderful bounty from heaven. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're out of time, but we're so glad that you're here this morning. We're going to sing a song together. We pray, dismiss us with God's blessing, and we hope you're able to join us on the patio. But let's sing a song together.